Here in James chapter 1, as we take a look there, last time we took a look at verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious, and that word religious is talking about ceremonial observance, is talking about meeting together to worship or worshiping and such as that, and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. And we took a look at chapter 3 in its entirety about the tongue and how it is and how it works there. And kind of took that chapter out of its place to match up with this verse. And we took a look, and we just want to just take a look at this scripture real quick. Look here in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, and consider this. In regards to the tongue, Proverbs 15, verse number 4, and how when we speak, may the Lord help us that we would use our tongue right, because we can build up or we can tear down. We've got a problem in that, as that chapter 3 brought out to us. But look here in Proverbs 15, the Lord says in verse number 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. It'll give out good things. But perverseness therein is indeed a breach in the spirit. Because the tongue speaks what comes from the heart. And so we need certainly to be aware of that. May the Lord help us that we might use our tongue to honor and magnify the Lord. Verse number 27, it goes on with this thought about religion and worship and such as that. Pure religion and undefiled, in James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. And we need to understand that our worship is before the Lord. It is before God and the Father. It is before God Almighty and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God and God the Father, before the Trinity. If we worship Him, it is before Him. Any worship that would be pursued is before Him. Even those that are wicked that will worship gods or idols or demons or such as that, that worship is there before God. He sees it, and He's not pleased with it, because who is to be worshipped? None other but Him. He is to be worshipped. But pure religion, an undefiled, unspotted religion, religion, worship to God that is not spotted up, that's not corrupted, that doesn't have rust hanging off of it, that doesn't have crud and slime and goo and ooh hanging off of it. Think about that. Religion that's there, that's pure, that's not corrupted in any way before God and the Father is this. Number one, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Now, in our day and age in which we live, we might read this, or it could be read, pure religion and undefiled for the pastor before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. But it doesn't say that, does it? I've got a responsibility to do so, but so do all of us, right? The Word of God's coming to all of us. We all have a responsibility. We have several elderly and those that are shut in of our number. We've got some. And we need to care for them. We need to look in on them. And not any one of us can do all of it. We can't. But we need, if we want to worship the Lord, honoring those of our elders, those of our elders and those even here, says the fatherless. There's some of you whose parents have gone on and died, but you may not be elderly. You may not be feeble. But your father is gone. Your mother, your parents have passed on. And that kind of puts that in a different light, doesn't it? It says here, the fatherless and widows. There's some of that. Those are some that are widowed of our number that are by no means elderly or become feeble. And so that kind of broadens things out, doesn't it? It makes it broader than we might consider at first glance. And we, as part of speaking, part of that fellowship that we need to have one with another. You know, my parents are living. I'm blessed that my parents are still living. And it's just going to be hard for me to sympathize with you whose parents have died and gone on. But some of you whose parents have died and gone on, You can certainly sympathize with them, can't you? Because you're there. You're there. And so we need to, if we want to have pure, undefiled religion for God, this is something that we in the Lord's church and as the Lord's people can do to visit the fatherless in their affliction, to visit the widows, the widowers in their affliction, in their burden that they're having to bear because of that, and the trial that they have in their parents being gone and their spouse having died, and they're there left without a spouse. They're left without parents. I've been told by some and that whose parents have died, and especially when their mother would go first and then their father go, or their father die and then their mother die. When that last parent dies, there's that loneliness that comes about. You know, I haven't experienced that. I've just been told that it's that way. You're the last in your line, more so. You don't have your parents there anymore. They've gone on, and you're here left, and you miss your parents. There's that loneliness that comes about. And so we need to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ, or maybe even those that aren't in the church, to visit them and to encourage them and help them in their affliction. That is the point that is mentioned often, but there's another one that's here too. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Number one, to visit the fatherless and to visit the widows in their affliction, to be sensitive to them and how we can help them and how we can encourage them. But in number two, it says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure worship before God is to keep ourselves unspotted from this world. Spotted with what? Well, spotted with the perverseness that's in the world, the talk of the world, the thinking of the world, the wicked entertainment of the world, the wicked working in the workplace. You know, I sold equipment before I came here, stamping equipment, tool and die equipment. And you know, there's that industry and that sector of work is ate up with crooks. They sell machines by buying vacations. They sell machines by buying memberships to clubs. They sell stuff by buying this, buying that, and buying the other to be able to sell their stuff. And sometimes it was a struggle just to sell a piece of equipment on its own merit. And you say they go this other way, and of course I'm going to be all sold out about what I'm selling. And it's like, why are they paying more for less? A lot of times there was a reason. A lot of times there was a reason that was the case. To be unspotted from the world, to not take the way that the world works and adapt that into our home and the philosophy of the world. I talked about this morning in my Sunday school class how it is that there doesn't need to be manipulation and deception in our homes. Amen. The parents don't need to be manipulating the children, tricking them into obedience, bribing them into things. No, that doesn't need to be. It's not that's the world's thinking and the way the world's works. There's not to be manipulation of children, manipulating the parents. That need not be. Amen. The world is full of that. The entertainment that we've been seeing for the last three decades or better is telling that dad's an idiot and mama knows the answer and the kids know even better than mama. Isn't that the truth? It is. And that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wicked. That's wicked. We shouldn't operate that way in our homes. And there shouldn't be that manipulation, but there ought to be, our homes ought to be centered around the Word of God and what God says and what God desires. Yes, my wife knows about some things that I don't know about, and I know some things that she doesn't know about, and we work together to get there. She's my helpmeet. And it shouldn't be manipulation between a husband and a wife. It shouldn't be. Manipulate your spouse. And that sanctity of the marriage bed and those things that the Lord has made in marriage for that intimacy between a husband and a wife, that should never be used as leverage ever.
Amen.
Never. That's not a bargaining chip. It's wickedness before the Lord. Unspotted. That's the way the world works. That's the way the world thinks. But it shouldn't be. If there's problems, the example, what we were looking at in the Scriptures, when Rachel heard that Isaac was going to bless Esau, and she went to work in there with Jacob to go have him kill the kid, and she prepared it all up, and he was going to feign being Esau, right? It's not supposed to work that way. What she should have done? Did I get it wrong again, Rebecca? I get those R's messed up. Help me out. Rebecca, thank you. Rebecca, did I say Rachel? I said Rachel, thank you. Rebecca, she went to working rather than what should have she have done? She should have went and said, "Now, Isaac, you remember that Esau sold Jacob his birthright. Now, we don't agree with it, and it was very unwise for Esau to have done that, but you need to remember what was done." The deception wasn't necessary for God to accomplish what He wanted to accomplish. And we all always ought to be pursuing truth. Unspotted from the world, so many things. The music that we listen to, the things that we look at, the things that we read. Unspotted from the world.
Right.
But God, I liken it to having a robe on, a white robe, and I got splotchy marks here and here and here. I got my robe all dirtied up. Take a look over at Revelation chapter 3. This is for real, written to a church. This is the Lord speaking to one of His churches. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church at Sardis write, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." You've got a name that you're alive, but you're really dead, church. He still claims them as His church. But He's talking to her. He's talking to the members. He's talking to the pastor. And he, because He loves them. "I know your works. I know what you're doing. You've got a name that you're alive, but you're really dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die." Get a hold of them and shore them up. Get a hold of them and get to practicing them again. Get a hold of what God says, what I say in my word, and be doing it. And don't take my instruction light. Don't take my word light. Don't take what I've told you and how I want you to operate in a light way, but get serious about it. "Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." This is Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Get a hold of it. Time's running out. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Those things that you've let slip, repent of it and get back a hold of them. The bad attitude, the bad way that you've got a hold of, your lack of witnessing, your lack of living for me, your lack of being part of the church, your lack of standing in righteousness and walking in righteousness with me, get rid of those things and repent of them. Get them right. Time's running out. I'm coming and I'm visiting you. Time's running out. "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If will you or won't you, Church at Sardis? Will you or won't you, Olmsted Baptist Church? If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come as on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. The Lord's coming. He's come to tell him this truth, but he's talking about coming to start chastising. Get a hold of it. Repent of it. Got a hard heart? Got a cold heart? Repent of it. Soften it up. There's folks that need to be saved. There's work that needs to be done. And if we're off sinning and messing around, we can't be used of the Lord like we should be. Isn't that what we see with the fruit of the Spirit? If we're chasing after the works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit isn't going to abound. There's going to be that warfare and wrestling going on. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come in on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know at what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. But the rest have. Got those robes spotted up with the mire and the coal dust and the nastiness and the grease of the world. You know, when I used to work on presses, man, there's nothing nastier than a stamping press, especially one that gets greased. You walk up to that thing, say, oh man, it greased it. Ugh. It's different than it being oiled. And those presses, they run up and down all day long. 30, 60, 100 strokes a minute, forever. They've been running forever. The older they are, the nastier they are. And you get close to the bearings on those presses, it's been greased, and that stuff is just black. It's full of bronze. It's full of that grease. It's full of just trash. And I'd come home with that stuff on my hands. I couldn't get it off my hand for a week. That's the way sin does us. It defiles. It messes up the garment. You don't recover real quick. You don't recover real quick. That's the reason I wore gray. Gray was the universal color. Because I didn't get into anything that was ever white or yellow or anything. It was always black. And so you wash it, and even if it doesn't come out, it looked okay. That's the way sin does us. It'll smudge us up, and there we are standing before the Lord and say, I love you, Lord. And I'm all smudged up with the sin of the world. Amen. Got my garments all soiled up with sin. There's a few names in Sardis which has not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. It says over there in 1 Corinthians where we looked and studied about the Lord's Supper, about how it is that there's a manifestation even in the Lord's church of those that want to serve Him and try to do right, and they're repentant when they sin and admit when they're wrong and turn around and try to pursue on it right. And what it does is they're manifested in their obedience, and those that are disobedient are manifested in their disobedience. The Lord comes at times and He draws a line. He's always drawing a line of righteousness with His Word. Always is. He that overcometh, verse 5, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Whoa. Wait a minute. I thought we preached eternal security here. That's what the Lord says. He's saying it that stiff. Are we talking about possessors or professors? Are you a possessor of eternal life? As I said this morning, the one that truly doesn't have faith from God won't be able to make it last. Their feigned everlasting life will wear out. It'll show. It'll break down. It won't go because they're faking it. They're feigning it rather than being a possessor of it. Can't live for the Lord without having the Spirit of God within. Just can't do it. It'll manifest itself somehow. It'll show up somehow. You know what? I think it shows up mainly in the joy or the lack of joy. Hmm? Hmm? He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know why the Lord says that he'll confess his name before the Father? Because that child has been faithfully confessing his name before men on the earth. Unspotted from the world. Not cowering back when the thing of righteousness needs to be said. Yes, we fail. Yes, we sin. But don't make a practice in life about it. Back in James chapter 1. Pure religion and undefiled before God. Worship before God. See, we meet together to worship in the church at the times that are appointed, and we well should, because that's what the church has agreed to do so. We're certainly commanded to do so the first day of the week. But will you go and worship God tomorrow? You can worship God in your work. Ladies working at home, men working on their jobs, children going to school. You can worship God in doing those things. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Worshiping the Lord. Thanking the Lord for His blessings. Asking Him for help when it gets tough. When we have a difficulty. Acknowledging God. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Does it not say that? It doesn't say in most of the ways, in all thy ways at home, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. No, it's in everything. Whether we work, whether we play, whether we worship together at church, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, we need to do that. We need to do that. Be aware of that. And many of you do, and I'm thankful that you do. I am. Many of you, when we've been sick, you'll call. Say, how you doing? Sister Clarissa, how you doing? And several have called asking about how that's good. And she's got some affliction, especially living with me. She's not fatherless and she's not widowed. But you call. You do care, and that's good, and we need to do that. Because it's an encouragement to that one that's sitting there at home. And everything's the same every day, every day, every day. It's an encouragement to get a call, to get a card, to get a visit. To visit the fatherless. Don't forget about the fatherless. Don't forget about those that have lost their parents in that too, especially if you have lost yours and can sympathize with them. And the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Like the Lord admonishes the church at Sardis. Verse chapter number 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, he adds on to that. Isn't that interesting? Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Respect of persons. Are you and I a respecter of persons? I tell you what, living in this body, it's hard not to be. That's just being honest. It shouldn't be. But is there any one of us in this crowd that's any better than any other? No, sir, and no, ma'am, there's not. Not a one of us is better than another. Not a one. We are souls before the Lord. Because you take us down to death, You see us coming at birth, and that's what we've got. And you see us go out at death, that's what we've got. This body, life, when we're born, and nothing that we take with us when we die. The Lord gives us blessings, and the Lord blesses us with things, but that doesn't make us any better than anyone else. And He says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. You know, because what He's going to tell us, I'm going to give you the hint, because God doesn't. God doesn't give a lick what we own, who we know, where we've been or where we're going or what we're doing. It has no impression upon Him. You know, I kind of cringe sometimes when I hear somebody say, you know, well, so-and-so is an important person. Well, they're to be honored in their position, yes. But are they to be respected more than someone else? No. Not before the Lord. Should we take, I mean, the mayor what was it called here instead of the county commissioner, the judge executive? Right? Is that what the county top man or top woman is? They should be honored because of their position, but they're no different than any other person. And we are to honor those that are in authority, but not to give them any more rope or slack than we would anybody else. And so he's going to talk to them about that. For if there come into your assembly, into your church, a man with a gold ring, in verse 2, and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? Got these two that come in. One is evidently and apparently wealthy. We say, okay, clear out that front seat and let them sit right there. Let them sit right there. And got another one that comes in, and maybe they're kind of smelly. They've been working hard all day, and they didn't have time to go home and change clothes. Maybe they're just poor. Maybe they don't have a place even to live. We say, well, we got seating back there at the back. Or you sit out there in that chair, that'll be even better. No matter of fact, why don't you go out to the annex and just listen? Be closer out there to the bathroom. Is the Lord pleased with that? No, He's not. Amen. Partial in yourselves. The Lord hates such an attitude. He's not that way with us, and we should not be that way with men. Leviticus chapter 19. Take a look over here. Leviticus 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. Take a look here and see what the Lord says. In Leviticus 19, 15. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Because they're a people. Deal with them with what the Lord says, what the Word of God says, and move on. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. Hear Moses preaching to the children of Israel before they go over into the land, the promised land. Verse number 17 of Deuteronomy 1. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man. For the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, Moses says, and I will hear it. But don't you make a difference between any person, whether they're your kin, or whether they're a stranger to you, whether they're very wealthy or whether they're very poor, don't make exception either way. You deal with them as a person, and you deal with them in their case. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 23, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. First Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5, verse number 21. Verse 20, 1 Timothy 5, verse 20, "Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may also fear. I charge thee before God," the apostle writing to the young pastor, preacher, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality." No cliques in the church. No cliques. No favoritism. And sometimes that's very hard to do, but that's the way, Lord being our helper, it needs to be. That's what I desire as pastor, is to be equitable. That's what I need to be. There's the charge from the Lord right there. And then look over here in Jude, verse 16. Here, Enoch prophesying about those in verse number 14, Jude 14. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these that spoke against the Lord, that go after the way that is against God, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him," against God. "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts." So that's what murmurers and complainers do. "And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." Politics. The Lord said, it's not to be amongst us. It is not to be amongst us. Look what the Lord says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12. "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Scouting out one that you want to get on your side because of their influence or ability, the Lord doesn't like that. We're to deal with men, women, boys and girls in who they are as a soul, as a person. Not preferring one above another. Not saying that this one's worthy of salvation and this isn't. Not saying that this one's worthy of my help and this one isn't. Not saying that I prefer this one over this one. We're to be equitable. And we need the Lord's help to do it. May the Lord help us to do it. But being aware of it is the first part. Back in James chapter 2. "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ." See that service, that trusting in the Lord, that worship of the Lord, that service before God. Don't be one that says that you're pursuing that and have this respecter of persons thing that you do. Prejudiced. Prejudice is another, whether of over the skin color or other things that might cause us to be prejudiced. It's not to be amongst the Lord's people. It's not to be. Don't have it. "Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sir, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou here, or sit under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges with evil thoughts?" That's what it's saying. Not judges, not having a thought and judging the wrong way, but it's talking about making a judgment call in an evil way. Judges with possessing evil thoughts, because it's against the Lord. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which He hath promised to them that love Him? Turn to Matthew 5. Look what the Lord has done. We get to thinking that we're something. I get to thinking that I'm somebody. I'm a nobody, saved by the Lord. Look what the Lord has done for we that He's saved. Look what He's provided here on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into the mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, right off the bat, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I was dead in trespasses and sins, and the Lord has made me His son, given the Spirit of God to live within. Going to make me a priest and king, He says in the book of Revelation. Going to give me a mansion.
Amen.
In glory with Him.
Amen.
Is He a respecter of persons? No, He's not, is He? To take a worm like me and do that for me?
Amen.
To take a sinner like you and do that for you? Is the Lord a respecter of persons? We talked a little bit this afternoon about how it is and how the Lord, He blesses so far and above what we're worth, doesn't He? If he's running a business, He'd go broke, as the brother said. If He was running a business, Lord, the Lord's blessings upon us is like Him running a business and paying each and every one of us $1,000 an hour. He'd go broke in the business world. Oh, but what the Lord has done for us.
Amen.
Praise God, He's not a respecter of persons, because He took this poor sinner and set him free, gave me His Spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look over in Luke chapter 4. Look at when the Lord came from being tempted, and He'd been baptized and driven of the Spirit out into the desert, and He came back home there to Nazareth, and He went to the synagogue to read. And in verse number 16 of Luke 4, and He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. If you've been saved, it's because you're poor in every way, in spirit, in ability, in wealth, in anything. It's because we're poor. And the Lord didn't push us off, did He? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God, He didn't say, I brought salvation to the wealthy. I brought salvation to the renowned. I brought salvation to that elite that's on the earth, and it's only made available to them. Praise God.
Amen.
That God was not a respecter of persons. That the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say, Father, we got to shorten up this list some, because you've got some pretty low ones on here. Praise the Lord, He didn't. Amen.
Amen.
But He came to save sinners like us. Oh, may God help us. May the Lord help us to see it. May the Lord help us in it. Back in James chapter 2. Verse number 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hear it and obey it. Hearken. Hearken to that attitude. Hearken to what the Lord says. My beloved brethren, He goes and He says, look at how it can be with us, but look at how it is with God. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith? Faith. There it is again, isn't it? Oh, what would you trade for faith that you've been given by God? There's nothing to trade for it, is there? There's nothing There's nothing that would be worth trading for faith given by God. What would there be? The whole world? The whole universe? There's nothing, is there? There's nothing. We've been given the best gift there is to receive. Faith. Faith. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs, made heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him. That's a question. He's challenging them with a question. This attitude that can be in us to respect persons, is God that way? And the answer is no, He's not. And as His children, you and I shouldn't be either.
Amen.
You and I shouldn't be either. But we should be gracious and loving and merciful as the Lord is. Stand in His Word and in His truth. And be what we ought to be, representative of Him in all things. Are you here tonight not saved? God's been merciful to sinners like you. Did He send His Son to die for you? Did the Lord give His Son on Calvary for you? Do you hear Him speaking to you? Will you repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is the Lord calling you? It's in Him.